friends. Welcome to Ask Dr. Julie Hanks podcast. I'm so glad you're here. In each episode, I coach a listener through a tough question about mental health, personal growth, family relationships, or faith journeys. My goal is to help you think, feel, or do something differently to improve your life because you listen to this podcast. I want you to step into your power and create a life you love. Let's get started. I'm so happy to welcome Christine to the podcast today. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What is your question for me today?
I would love to talk today about how I should approach my daughter's upcoming baptism when I don't really believe that 8-year-olds are capable of making that choice.
Okay. Do you have a partner who disagrees with that?
Not exactly. I do have a partner. My husband shares a lot of my concerns. I just probably feel them a little bit more intensely, I don't have a little bit more of them. But yeah, we're more on the same page than we are not on the same page.
Okay. When do you think your daughter would be able to make that decision?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I just understand that, you know, I understand what the church teaches about the age of accountability, but I also understand that the 8-year-old brain is actually only beginning to be capable of critical thinking and abstract thought. It's not like at 8, a switch is flipped or that some crucial brain development has been accomplished or something like that. They're just the beginning of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, to say when I think that she'd be able, I don't know. I don't necessarily think that I believe she has to wait until she's 25 and her brain is fully developed.
I'm not
saying that, but she's only 8.
Yeah.
You know, she's still flirting with the idea of the tooth fairy.
Yeah. And Santa. And
yeah, exactly.
Okay. So what is your concern? If you and your husband are on the same page with she's not ready, talk to me about your concerns.
My actual concerns with it. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned that she doesn't really understand the promises that are, that she would be making if she chooses to be baptized. I'm also very concerned that she wouldn't be doing it for the promises or for a relationship with Jesus Christ and God. But that it's really about the attention that she'd be getting, the party that she'd be having. I know my kid.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, insofar as she does understand the promises, like if we say, this is what Jesus did. And if you do this, then you're like Jesus. And she's like, awesome. Great. I totally want to do that. I'm not trying to say that she's an attention hog or something like that, who's only in this for the pretty dress, but you put a pretty dress into the mix and you tell her that all these other baptisms that she's been to for friends and things, and now it's her turn. Of course she wants to do it. Of course she wants to do it. Right. Like that's partly being a little kid and partly being a human. That's really fair. And so maybe that's part of why I don't think 8-year-olds are quite capable of separating all of that attention and the party and the cool specialness from the promises.
Right.
That maybe somebody who was older would be able to better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any advice on that?
No, I totally hear what you're saying. I just want to ask you, is it necessary that she's able to separate that? So let me say more.
Yeah.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. What if no one is ever ready to make those commitments? Mm-hmm. What if, like, I made the choice to get married at 20.
Oh, yeah.
I was not, like, most big choices, we make the choice, then we get ready, or we understand it as we go along. Yeah. And if we don't agree with it at some point, we get divorced, or you know what I'm saying? Like, we leave the church, or is there any point that we're ready for the next step in anything?
Yeah. That is a really, really good point. Comparing it to marriage in particular, like, that just really makes sense to me because, yeah, you're for sure not ever
like 100% ready. Even at 25. I mean, there are people who are more ready than others, right?
Of course. But you're never totally ready for getting into because you don't know what you're getting into. And there's no way for you to know until you get into it.
Right. And so I'm just playing devil's advocate. Yeah. So I'm not saying, oh, get her, you know, baptize her. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying that's kind of life. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how, right? Like the white dress and the, like the big party, the wedding. It's the same as a wedding, right?
Yeah.
Not the same, but they're similar. And there are some people who get married because of those things more than wanting to be married.
Right.
And then they have to figure that out.
How to be married. Yeah.
Right. Or not, or get unmarried really fast. So I want you to be thinking flexibly about this.
Yeah.
Being able to go, like, looking at all the different sides. There are ramifications for her getting baptized at 8. And if you are in this community, there are ramifications for her not getting baptized.
Right. And for sure, some aspects of my hesitance around this are that I have a really complicated relationship with the church.
Okay.
We are still attending. My husband and I are on the same page about this too. We've both mm-hmm. been through faith crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when faith crisis started for me, I remember telling my husband, this is not fun. I'm not enjoying this, but I could stay here. I could stay in this space of dismantling things and rebuilding things for a long time.
Yeah.
And I could be okay with this process if it weren't for our children, you know, that I feel a need to have some answers to offer them and to, you know, they're looking to me for some answers for me to say what's right and what's not right. And this is the first time, she's our oldest. And so this is the first time that I've had to actually confront this before. It's all been, are we going to church or are we not going to church? That's it. The only choice we've ever had to make before.
Yeah.
And now I'm very afraid of putting her on a conveyor belt.
Okay.
Like, to participate in Mormonism, particularly, maybe that's not fair to say particularly as a woman, but I feel like particularly as a woman, is to be put onto a conveyor belt. And baptism is the first step. And I am afraid of my putting her on a conveyor belt when she is 8 and when I don't believe that she is fully capable of making this decision.
Yeah.
That then she will just keep on doing the steps without being a full participant in the choices.
Right. Okay. Here's the good news. She has you and your husband as parents. Did you have you and your husband as parents?
No.
Or someone who is critically thinking and saying, you know, this is a really big commitment and you might change your mind and that's okay.
Yeah.
Or you, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So that's the good news. Mm-hmm. What do you think she would need to know or understand before she got baptized? Like what, if she chose, you know, chose mm-hmm. in quotes, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, I have a friend who she had all of her children take all of the missionary discussions before they got baptized.
Yeah. I've heard you talk about that before and I've thought a lot about it. I love the fact that that would, to some extent, ensure that she's got a full breadth of understanding.
Yeah.
But I also, I mean, like I said, I have a complicated relationship with the church. And so the idea of her having the missionary lessons is with you. Yeah.
And right.
But even so, like it's quite one-sided. And mm-hmm. then we get into this territory of I'm very aware. I like the framework, Richard Rohr's framework of first half of life and second half of life. Right. Yeah. And I'm aware that I am at the beginning of second half of life and that my daughter is firmly first. In first half of life.
Right, right.
But there's so much good stuff that she needs from first half of life. That first half of life gives her structure and rules. And the goal is to create a container that she can fill with her identity.
Right.
And I need to let her have that. I know that. I know I need to let her get all that good stuff from first half of life.
But I'm afraid what?
Well, two things. I'm afraid that I am doing her a disservice because I'm trying to like give her the lessons of second half of life in first half.
Okay. Like, yeah. I sense that.
I'm jumping the gun on her.
Yeah. And I also sense like, I don't want her to go through the pain that I've been through.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm trying to like recognize that she has to be in first half of life, but like plant seeds that ease her transition into second half later.
Yeah.
And that's probably not possible.
Well, I think it is possible.
Yeah.
I think you can plant the seeds by talking about things in a way that helps her develop her sense of self instead of abandon her sense of self.
Okay. Can you give me an example?
Yeah. So that might be, talk to me about what you learned in primary today. Uh-huh. Oh, we learned about, you know, how Nephi, da, da, da. You know, there are some people, or if this applies to you, myself included, who value the Book of Mormon, mm-hmm. not because it actually happened, but because mm-hmm. they are sacred stories of our faith tradition. And what that means is just like, you know, there are lessons in movies or books that you read, that there are really valuable lessons that you can learn and you can come closer to Jesus Christ through the book. And some people don't even think it's real and it still can be valuable. Mm-hmm. So like just like planting that idea of there is a possibility that this isn't literal or, you know, or whatever it is, like just planting that. Or what do you get from that story, daughter?
Right.
What is the lesson that you, does that feel true to you?
Yeah. Do you feel, yeah. That makes sense to me. And that sounds like something that my husband and I can do that fits into our larger parenting goals and parenting style. Mm-hmm. I feel capable of providing that message at home, but I'm also mm-hmm. aware that every Sunday I'm taking her to a place where she is being told quite the opposite in a lot of ways.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a decision that you and your husband have to make as whether you want to have your family participate in your faith tradition at all.
Right. Is there a way to, you know, teach her that at home and continue taking her to church without just dooming her to cognitive dissonance?
I don't know. That's a really, I don't know. I think you could definitely try. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem in the church, especially for women, is if we are taught to abandon our sense of self.
Yeah.
And to not consider ourselves in the equation, right? Like the conveyor belt, like you said.
Yeah.
And she is going to primarily learn that from you and your husband.
You think more than she learns it from church teachers?
Who you are.
Right.
More than what they say.
Yeah. Okay.
So is she going to learn lessons that you know, maybe gender roles? Yes. Yeah. Can you be aware of what's coming up in the lesson and decide to not have her attend? Yes. Sure. Or to say, I'm sitting in on this lesson, mm-hmm. or I'm not signing her up for FSY when mm-hmm. she's in Young Women's, or, you know, can you be aware of that and kind of do whatever you can? I mean, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. But that's parenting.
Right. And here's the thing. If not this container, she's going to need another container.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that doesn't mean a religion, but it means some kind of values, some kind of structure.
Right.
I think one thing that parents in the church could do so much better is talk about values more than talking about behavior.
Mm.
Like talking about generosity more than we must pay tithing, we must be obedient. Yeah. Talk about respecting your elders more than follow the prophet.
Right. Like, talk about the why.
Yeah. Like, this is what we value. We value family. Yeah. We value serving other people. And this is the way that we choose to express our values. And other people have the same values and they choose to express it differently. And that's okay. Like, I think that would be a huge shift if families focused on the value behind the behavior more than the behavior.
That makes sense how that can kind of pave the way for that transition into second half of life, because first half of life is so rules oriented. But if you're, you know, letting them have the rules that give them the structure that they need while emphasizing the values, then when the rule, I don't know, kind of falls apart or loses value in that transition, they're not left with nothing. They're left with the strength of the value behind it.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. We still have this value. Even if you're like, oh, maybe I don't believe in the literal historicity of the Book of Mormon, or maybe I don't want to pay tithing to the church, or maybe Joseph Smith wasn't who I was taught, or whatever the things are that she's going to find out, or the bishop that, you know, you find out that your leader did something, or that's just part of development, is we're going to have this process. Not necessarily, but a lot of people do, right? I have, you have, your husband has, where you go, oh, this isn't what I thought it was. Oh, it's not you do this, you get this.
Right.
It's you do this because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Or you stop doing it. Or you do it because it aligns with your values. Or, you know, and I just think you can be putting those possibilities in their mind, in her mind and your other kids' minds, that help them think more flexibly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, you know, we learned about it's not okay to smoke and drink. Okay, so let's talk about that.
Right.
What is the value? We actually live by that. But what do we think about people who do smoke and drink? Oh, they're bad people. Really? Mm-hmm. So do you know that this, you know, my boss at work smokes and drinks. Right. And they're this really great person, like challenging that rigidity and teaching that flexibility of thought. You can start young.
Okay. I think we can do that.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways, in other areas, we do that already. And so I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic that we can do this.
Scale
that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have a lot of fears about, you know, destining her for cognitive dissonance. But like you were saying before, you know, the problem with the conveyor belt is that they don't feel like they have a choice. Mm-hmm. Like that's what makes it a conveyor belt, is that they're on it and they don't have the choice to get off. And that's what I'm really afraid of, is her not getting to be a full participant maybe not even recognizing that she's not a full participant in the choices because she's so on the conveyor belt and, you know, what her peers are doing. And to some degree, I'm afraid of her someday, like having her own faith crisis. And as I'm not afraid of her having her own faith crisis, but I'm afraid of it hurting, I guess. I'm trying to smooth the way, probably way too much, but I'm afraid of her coming back to me and saying, why did you let me do this?
Yeah. And what would you say?
It's really important to me that she believes that I respect her choices.
Yeah.
Even now as an 8-year-old, when I don't believe that she is fully capable of making this decision. I don't believe her brain is developed enough to understand the abstract concepts that she is participating in.
Right.
But it's important to me that even now that she believe that I think that she's capable and that I respect her choices.
Yeah.
And that I will support her in her choices.
Yeah.
I think that's important even now at 8, if I want it to continue to be true as she gets older.
Right.
Which is why this is probably this difficult. Like, if she says she wants to do it, then I'm going to let her do it.
Yeah.
Like, even if I don't think that she fully understands it,
because
I'm pretty sure it's a higher value for me that she takes her own decision-making ability seriously.
Beautiful.
I think that's a higher value.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I also think one thing you could do is explore with her. Tell me about the parts of you that want this. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
well, I want the dress and I want the party and I want the, and then that gives you a chance to say, and this is a commitment to follow Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's a big, big deal. And if that's not part of what you want, then maybe we need to wait.
Okay.
Or we can have a dress and a party without the baptism. Yep. If that's what you're excited about.
Right. We can have the world's biggest birthday party for you.
Right.
It can be special for other reasons.
Right. But letting her, you know, really getting to know her, like, what is she excited about? What does she understand? Maybe she understands more than you think.
Yeah, that's very fair. That's very fair. I am for sure making some assumptions about what she understands because of what I know I've taught her and what I haven't taught her.
Right, right. And it's so tricky once you've gone through a faith transition or faith crisis to not project your own stuff onto your kids.
Yep.
Right? Because there are people who are in pain about the church who have kids who it works beautifully.
Right. Yeah.
Like it doesn't create pain. I have a child who it doesn't create pain. Another right. child, it created a ton of pain. So I'm like, you can't project your own.
Yeah.
And for me, it's both. It created, there was a lot of pain and dissonance and so many good things.
Right.
It was like so much of both for me.
Right.
And so I think the fact that you're aware, like, okay, a lot of this is my stuff, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm very aware.
Yeah. And if you are committed to doing the work of supporting her in developing a self.
Yeah.
And exploring, like, what do you think about that? How does it feel to you? What do you want? Because what you want matters.
Yeah. That phrase, I think, is really powerful and simple enough that even, you know, my 8-year-old can understand that.
Yeah.
Like, that's a phrase that I think we could use now and that would serve us through teenage years
and adult beyond.
Like, yeah.
I just did a group coaching last night of primarily middle-aged women. And I was saying the same thing, like, what you want matters. Do what you want to do. Do what the thing that lights you up. Right.
Right.
Because that's what was missing. It's like we learn, take yourself out of the equation, just do the right thing and take care of other people. That doesn't work. That doesn't work for human development. Doesn't work for kid development or adult development. Right.
Yeah.
So if she can have that message, like, you are the main character of your life. You get to choose. You get to choose when you, if you want to do this, if you want to be a mom, if you want to get married, what career you want to have. You get to be the main character. And if she sees you modeling that as an adult, that's what she,
right?
You know, you are her model of what an adult woman does, is, feels,
right,
thinks. Mm-hmm. And so if you're doing your work, she's going to have a lot better chance of being able to continue her development and not have it be arrested by the obedience and the conveyor belt and the, you know, just do the right thing kind of mentality.
Yeah. That is, I think a lot about the fact that I am her example of what an adult woman should be, because I didn't grow up with a lot of examples that now in adulthood, I'm like, yes, that's what I want to do and be. So I think a lot about the example that I'm setting for her. But what's most interesting to me about what you just said is, like, my highest goal, I think, is to help her develop a self, like you said, because, you know, my dad, I don't know that he would ever say that he's been through a faith crisis or a faith transition. I think that's just how he came.
Yeah.
He's a deeply critical thinker and has never, I don't know, bought wholesale into anything, but he's very faithful. He believes in this because of experiences that he's had. And I really respect him for that. And so I had a talk with him about some of my reservations. I asked him if he ever had any reservations about any of us getting baptized.
Wow.
And he said, no. And, you know, through the course of our conversation, he said that you want them to make this choice now in the hopes that they make the right choices later. Mm. And I get what he's saying, but that would require that my highest goal be that they make certain choices rather than that my highest goal be that she develop a self mm-hmm. and make the choices that she wants to make. Those are antithetical to each other, right?
Yes, I hear what you're saying. Is that what he meant? That they follow the path?
Or I think
they
so,
make
yeah.
the right choice? Okay.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to be your motivation.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there are a lot worse things you could be doing at 8 than saying, you're making a commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to treat other people with love and respect. Like, I think that's the commitment that she's making.
Right.
And do you hope she, like, treats people that way? Yeah. Like, so, like, yeah. emphasize that. Like, right. That's why I'm supporting you, is because you say you want to, and because I think you can create the best life mm-hmm. if you follow Jesus and how he treated people.
Right. I think I may be jumping ahead of myself and making this harder on myself than I need to, because I don't have any problems with the promises that she's making as far as following Jesus and taking care of those around her. Those yeah. are high values in our home anyway.
Yeah. It's the next stuff.
Yeah. The fact that this is the first step on, yeah. in a pipeline or on a conveyor belt that I am nervous for, but just because she's making this choice now, I have to make it clear to her that she can make this choice now and she can make different choices in the future,
right.
which is complicated. Like, one of the, you know, my husband and I have had a lot of conversations about this, trying mm-hmm. to understand where our fears are the same and where they diverge.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that my husband said is that he's not so much nervous about the ordinance itself as he is nervous about how other people will frame the ordinance for her. Like in terms of Elder Bednor's recent talk about, you know, you've already decided. And so I'm terribly paraphrasing him here.
No, but I know which talk you're talking about. Yes. Yeah. Where you're like, no.
You get to change your mind.
Right. And all along the way, if you're sending that message,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
yeah.
even to, you know, people who are married, it's like, you get to change your mind. If this person ends up
right.
being destructive to your soul, sure. get out. Like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yes, this is a big commitment, and you always have an out.
Yeah.
You can always change course. If you choose this career, you can always change it.
Right.
I think that you're not stuck
mm-hmm.
and you can convey that as the parent and
yeah.
you live that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not stuck. I right. get to choose this.
Yeah.
I'm in this marriage because I choose to be. Mm-hmm. I'm a parent because I chose to be. And
right.
you model that
mm-hmm.
and you know, and it's okay to, and you're throwing in there, and it's okay if you choose not to be a mom.
Right.
Some people, that's not what they want, and that's okay.
Yeah. Or if you choose not to get married, or
if you choose to marry a woman, or
right.
you choose to, like, you get to choose your life. You're the main character
mm-hmm.
in your story, and you get to write your story.
Have a self and be a self.
Yeah. Yep. You get to be, the story is about you.
Yeah.
And you get to write that. And how exciting that you get to explore that and make mistakes and,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, go, oh, whoops, I don't really mean that. I mean this, you know?
Yeah. Or I'm going to go try this other thing for a little while. I'm going to change directions and then go back. And
right.
Yeah. I want her to understand, to grow up understanding that that's okay. And to live her life believing that that's okay.
Yeah. And she'll have a lot of pressure in the church otherwise.
Yeah.
That you're going to have to counterbalance and help her think critically about. And you can also model how to respectfully disagree.
Yeah.
Right? There have been some recent conference talks where I'm like, I actually don't believe that to my, mm-hmm. you know, my teenage daughter. Like,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't resonate as true for me.
Right.
I don't believe that we are not going to be with your sister in the
right.
eternities because she's not a member of the church, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that's not true.
Yeah.
And I have a sister who, she tells her kids, you only have to believe things that are taught in church that are true. And it's your job to figure out what those things are.
Yeah.
I think that's so awesome.
What a perfect way to describe it. What another, yeah. I mean, another thing that works when they're 8 and 16 and 24.
Right. Like just you only have to believe the things that are true, and you are the judge of that.
Yeah.
And so if you're taught something that doesn't seem right to your heart, come and talk to me and Dad about it. Come and like, you can trust that. And if we taught our kids that, like, it wouldn't be a conveyor belt.
Right. It would be choices constantly. They would actually be using their agency.
Right. Right. Which we, you know, value so highly. Right. But now it's not free agency. It's moral agency.
Right. Right.
So you're free to choose the right. I'm like, nah, you're free to choose whatever.
It's not a real choice if no isn't if there's, an option.
It's not a yes unless you're free to say no.
That's right. Like, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully this has been helpful, Christine, just to kind of talk through it.
Yeah, it has been really helpful. Thank you so much.
Your daughter is really lucky to have such a thoughtful, intentional mom.
Thank you.
And just that gives her an advantage.
Yeah.
In this system, if you choose to stay in it.
Thank you.
So good job.
Thanks. It makes me very hopeful.
Yay. Yeah, you've got this.
Thank you.
And you're not going to do it perfectly, and you don't have to.
Yeah.
But, you know, she needs a real mom who's in it with her, and that's what she has. And so you've got this.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk today. And I just wish you the best on this journey. And I would love an update on how things go. Like, drop me a DM or something. Like, hey, we did the baptism, or we did a no baptism party, or, you know, whatever.
That's right. Expect some pictures of her fabulous birthday party.
Yeah, whatever it is, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, take good care. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Let me offer you more support and the chance to connect with other like-minded women with a Latter-day Saint background. Join my group coaching. You will be seen, heard, and you'll find a welcoming group of women. And you'll get coaching from me around topics that matter most to you. To join my group coaching, go to drjuliehanks.com/membership today and use the code podcast to get your first month free. Come try it out. Let's support each other and grow together. You are not alone. We're waiting for you.
Have you ever thought, hey, I want to talk to Dr. Julie Hanks about this question? Well, now's your chance. I want to have you on my podcast. So email hello@drjuliehanks.com with your question and the reason why you want to be on the podcast. And we may just choose you for a free coaching session.